E pronto, Milano. So they refuse to trust even the owners of the room. They're making it possible now that everything is recorded and it's taken off the shelf. The shelf will do the recording. This object will be removed and found that missing. And they put it back, it'll record back. So this is exactly what's going to happen. The shelves are going to do the comp now. And when the box security, the cash box, will do a recording. So you can't even walk on the store and say you didn't pay for it. That's really put ourselves in our own position. But that's, again, individuals in their own thinking. So oxygen gives you the consciousness. Nitrogen gives you the willpower to stick things out. And hydrogen gives you the desire. And carbon dioxide is a waste gas. It comes after you breathe, not before you breathe. So you can fart after you take your first breath. You can burp after you take your first breath.
But not ill. There's no farting until then, huh?
It's after the cord is cut and you take your breath, then you can fart. Not before. Try as you like, your body ain't gonna do it. You'll bubble up through your mouth like a champagne bottle, but you'll never fart till you breathe through your nostrils, through the bars are open.
In the Bahamas, it's just part of the blood, you can hear it very distinctly, very loudly.
So, there it is, right there in your nostrils, set up for you to function. Once you understand it, then knowing that you're not locked into all the charades that the society is functioning with, you know for sure what's going on. Carbon dioxide now is called CD. C is for the constructive use of carbon dioxide. It will preserve you from breaking down once it's regulated. It will destroy you if you don't know how to regulate it. What do you keep your food in after you take it out and serve us and put it back in? What do you call that?
What do you call it?
What?
Refrigerator.
Oh, and what do you use to refrigerate it?
Yeah. A condenser. It takes the heat out.
What kind of gas do you use in there? Man, if your mother naked didn't make your ass off to freeze you up before you shit, you would have been dead a long time. Your own nose and your own body is designed to cellular refrigerate you. We only copying it, and the guy that never refrigerated you will have to copy the unit, and so what we got. Units for what? Ice been falling on the ground have been made by Mother Nature centuries before we ever found out. Water's falling from the sky, called rain, frozen by the environment. We chop it up or what? We got a fish to eat for next year?
Mm-hmm.
No, we can't carry the ice around with us because it's too big. So we invented what? A mechanical ketchup.
And then it vanished.
And that's what your body is. Carbon dioxide inside of you has this capacity. Other instruments can be now made to duplicate it.
So what is the difference between the accumulation of carbon dioxide, which is inside
the
karma
or something that
you
want to use it, and
a
carbon
dioxide that
will
refrigerate you and stabilize you for in the
fall.
Ever defrost
your refrigerator? No, I already just said you had the answer right here. Then somebody said, hi, Pam! You failed to do this. How do you react? You pull in and squeeze?
Mm-hmm.
Then are you temporarily traumatized or temporarily refrigerated? Good. Hi, Pam. I'm glad you sent that thing over. We are very appreciative of your generosity. How do you do now? You freeze up or you cook? Or you bubble over? You do what? You see, your temperature control in terms of it, becomes what? An asset or a deficit. So when you bubble up now,
if you say carbon dioxide, make you sound like champagne. And when you cool down, you're feeling like a piece of ice or a rat. But the same voice that said, hi, Pam. But what they say after hi, Pam is what makes you freeze or you cook. So if you are appreciated for whatever you've done, you can bubble up and feel like you're cooking. If you feel lousy for whatever you've done, you're going to feel frozen. Do you see what the brain...
You have to be regulating the temperature of
peace
to
receive
the carbon dioxide?
Yes. Now, nobody does it to you but to yourself. So your best cure against anyone trying to freeze you or cook you is to do what?
Keep your breath.
No. In yoga, they say you must be master of your emotions. What pose is that? Lie on or lie off? Lie on to yourself or lie on yourself? Let's go with it. King of your emotions? King of the beast in you? So what do you do? Stick it down and laugh? Or you accept yourself as a mirror? Good. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the ugliest of them all?
Christian.
Ugliest of them all. We always want to know who's the nicest of them all. You don't want to know who's the ugliest?
And then you open your eyes.
Yeah. Your mouth, in reference to the static, triggers the carbon dioxide. So either cool you down or bubble you. So temperature relationship is set up to construct or break down in the carbon dioxide.
So you have to
pick
up more emotionally.
Congratulations. Now you understand.
But then there's another says you keep not ever allowing yourself to be
stressed. So he says the best let me. Sounds crazy, but you get hot. And you laugh, right? You never get cold and you laugh. So he says, it only takes two muscles to laugh. It takes four muscles to thump. And see, if you can't laugh, buy yourself a pair to take a profit yourself. You are
not
special.
I was
going to
say, but not too warm.
Correct. So there again, there are extremes and you can't be too warm or too cold, you have to stay functional. And you notice what you're saying to yourself in the end is a hypo or a hyperfunction in transportation. So anytime you have a breakdown in the body, you can always go back to the fundamental function of something too fast or too slow. So your hydrogen regulates your desire, your nitrogen regulates your willpower to stick it out, and your oxygen allows you to be conscious, to recognize, don't make it smart. And the carbon dioxide allows you to hang around or freeze out.
That's what laughter takes, the saturated fat and unsaturated.
Congratulations. Biothermal reaction is an emulsifier.
Help
us clean your lungs out. Good. You've been very good. No, not me. No. We got one more thing now, and that is this particular word, and I want to see if you people can tell me what it means to you. Minerals have a function like that.
Chunk needs to go around, pass through, but not pick up, like the venous blood chunks through the lungs, and it doesn't pick up oxygen, it might give off carbon dioxide, or it might not even give off carbon dioxide. So your arterial blood goes up and has less amounts of oxygen, greater amounts of carbon dioxide, you've got big problems.
Anything else, sir? Anybody else? That's good, sir. You ain't got all yet. Keep going. What's the shunt for? Minerals have a power to do shunting. But
the pressure is It's sent from the brain to a brain trauma and allowed.
No, I'll turn it to tap.
Keep talking, I'm listening.
Chew nuts. You can't go. Chew nuts. Can't put it away. It'll stay.
To drain out the overload.
Good. Keep going. You got any more? Michelle?
Good,
anything else?
I thought when you sent this one, you actually left its path and rerouted it.
Congratulations, keep talking, Maria. You hear it. You're getting on the ball.
Don't you send it back down the way it came up?
Keep talking.
That's all I know.
What good is a bulletproof vest to the question in front of it?
The person in front of it or the person wearing it?
Oh, I see. To the person who wears it important, not the one in front, right?
The one in front.
Oh, I see now. The one behind it will do what?
Protect it.
Good, that's what a shunt is. All it does, protects. You have four organs set up by the clock in your body to protect other organs from breakdown.
Kidney should be one and heart should be one.
And you read the crop this way.
Lungs also. And intestines. I bet those are the four.
And the first one is from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Lungs and
heart. And operates in two color spectrum.
Red and black.
Red and white. And that's a large intestine operating in two colors. One R for each color. And it's very easy to recognize because they've always got to have 2 hours and they break up into two colors. The ascending color is white in the large intestine and the descending color is the red. And the large intestine will act as a shunt. For the lungs against the stomach.
So the large intestine will act as a shunt.
For your lungs against the stomach. So when you're dying from eating too much and you don't go shit, you won't find out your lungs gonna run out on you and then you bury you. Because your colon is clogged up. So they say cleanliness is next to godliness and godliness is life and breath. So you gotta clean up your belly button in order to eat more. So nature done set it up already. That we begin our misery in our stomach and our mouth, and we clog up our large intestine, and before you know it, we're breathing heavy, and we don't get enough oxygen.
Breathing heavy.
Especially the mucus. So this here is a shunt for the lungs. The large intestine is the shunt for your lungs. So you need to do spring cleaning when spring comes around. And so if you're constipated, you know what is necessary. Now, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the heart is the next shunt. It's in the orange and the yellow. And the heart protects the spleen from the what?
Small intestine.
So all the crap that is left in your small intestine from the many years of eating, your heart will take it, but then if your heart lets you down, what time of the day it usually does that?
You said 7, the heart usually runs out about 7 p.m. actually, I think
7 p.m. Oh, word. What time do you think your heart lets you down?
11 to 1.
You always hear the person go in the restaurant, eat a big meal and fall over. And then when you look at what he eats, he's a fudgy belly, well fed.
You're right, too.
And you don't think so.
A heart transplant is not a heart attack. The heart gave out now, and it didn't act as a shunt between 1 o'clock. So the small intestine overloaded the heart gave out.
This brings a question. With Buddha and that big belly, what's the correlation there?
He's a calm.
Well, Tom, a Buddha didn't have a big belly. You're thinking of another Buddha.
The laughing Buddha. I know what you're talking about, and I know where you asked the question she asked. The Chinese are very smart people. They took that design to tell you, don't be like that, otherwise they'll bury you. And they put it in the place where food is served. You'll never find it in the temple. They call it the laughing Buddha. Yeah, they don't put it in no temple. You'll find the other kind of Buddha like this at the temple. Mm-hmm. Very athletic looking. But the one that stands up like this.
In a restaurant, he's telling you, don't come and muck yourself up. Or else they'll bury you with a fat gut.
So the pot belly is their way of telling you not to be like that. Be sure when you eat, don't get into a pot belly state. So that's what laughing. So the shunt organ in the middle of the day is the heart or the spleen against the small intestine. Yeah.
If someone has a heart attack, it seems to be a heart attack at stomach time? Someone commented about that, and I said, the first thing I thought of was that pericardium was straight across.
Heart attack at stomach time? Think of what you're saying, lower stomach is vent to vent.
5 to 7?
Your stomach, what time is that?
5.
Look at your clock.
No,
7 to 9. You get an attack at that time, you're not going to get it in your heart, friend.
They probably have gas.
I know that, because you're not going to get it in your heart, because what? You'll get it right here. You're never going to hear it.
Yeah, that's what they teach.
It's interesting, in fact, that this point is both a point for a heart attack and for stomach ulcers. You'll feel sore in the same place.
I know that.
You can misinterpret both.
It's all misinterpreted.
Heart attack usually in the arm or the neck.
You'll get it here. You'll never get it here. You'll get it here.
Is there anything associated with pericardium that is partially heart-related?
Your pericardium is what time?
9 months to 11.
7 months.
Opposite of stomach.
Anytime you get an attack in your pericardium, friend, you have a problem with your boyfriend or your, the opposite sex.
So, stomach time
would
have nothing to do with something across from pericardium,
yes?
So it would have to happen in the time.
No, because then you get a pericardium attack, it's going to be between 7 and 9 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, somebody that you were communicating with pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
And you like to give them a good shove in their face. Mm-hmm. But hardly you find too many pericardium attacks. It's always more of a thyroid attack. Right. But the pericardium is very rare because why? You more or less can patch it up.
Okay.
You can handle it better. But you can't handle the thyroid and the gallbladder, the barium.
Okay.
So the pericardium will let you down in a heart transplant.
Because it's
stiff? The small intestine puts the load on the heart in the middle of the day. That's your ulcers. And your heart attacks are always going to be what? Monkey eating. And you go find these guys around 11, 12 o'clock, what? Gorging up and all kind of combination, then they come up. And if you got a pain in this area, you got ulcers.
That's at 1:30.
If you have a heart transplant, your kidney is going to be the shunt. over here. That's two colors.
Hmm.
Green and blue. And it's going to let you down in a heart transplant. Because why? The heart was removed from the pericardium sac. And the transplant that was put in is not matching the same frequency. So the pericardium is going to overload now the kidney. And the kidney can't hold the load. It's the dialysis machine will shut down. And it's exactly at 6 o'clock going on to 7 o'clock in the evening. The patient had a beautiful heart transplant but died from what? Kidney failure. And it's all due to what? The pericardium not harmonically bonding with the new implant heart. The overload was too much. So if you say you're having a pericardium overload, kidney will give out. But again, the real problem is not the heart. The real problem is that they're not bonding together. Now, between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and that's in the indigo and violet, we run into the gallbladder. 9 times out of 10, a person having a gallbladder attack will feel the pressure coming from here towards the heart. And they'll fall over. 9 times out of 10, by the time anyone gets to them and get any medical attention, and by the time they pump the oxygen into their nostril or their mouth, they'll find that the patient is not responding, and they'll rush them to the hospital as fast as they can get them there. You, the relative of that person, may be breaking all the rules of the traffic to keep up with the ambulance to arrive at the hospital in order to hear the verdict. And when the doctor comes out after they have studied the patient, they'll come to you in very nice terms and says, are you the relative? Close relative? Yeah. I'm sorry to say that the person did not survive the attack. They were our DOE. We will make all necessary forms for you. Check in our office tomorrow. But they may have to go through an autopsy just to satisfy the city.
We'll charge you more than a funeral.
I know that. I've been through it many times, so I should know it. Now, when the man arrives at his ambulance and they go to the patient that has a heart, gallbladder attack at night, that's a gallbladder attack, thinking it's a heart attack, they normally try to give him oxygen. And so he dies from the oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, therefore, we know now it backfired.
What should they have been given?
Hmm?
What should they have been given?
This technique,
you know,
is
I mean,
not for the ambulance people, mm-hmm. because you'll be violating their training.
Haven't we breathed CO2?
A little
in a bag, mm-hmm. just put a paper bag over their head and have
that's right. And then
we do that in respiratory when someone has hiccups. Really,
and
really
then you give them the oxygen after that.
Donald, I've been working with heart patients for years. Both start, you know, once have a cabbage patient, coronary artery bypass. And a lot of them get really
some
bad hiccups
ago.
And they can't stop hiccups.
Some years ago.
Why?
Right.
Do you know why they get hiccups? And what we can do about that?
They got too much gas in their tummy.
Why, they just can't seem to stop.
See, they don't know how to do this.
Try it
next time.
Sure, gas.
Squeeze your nose and shoot the gas the opposite way.
Mm.
Command performance.
Let's see you do it again. Are you used to it all?
Wait till the pump recharges.
I got a question. There's a term paper on the blue and I read that his respirations, he doesn't breathe much. I also read that he ate and that kid poked sticks through his body. He got so thin. And I also read that he ate one seed a month. Was it an almond seed? Did he do that? Was it almond?
Who is that?
I read Gautama Buddha. I did a term paper on it.
What?
and I read that he ate 8 seeds one time a month, and that's all he lived on. I read it.
It proved that he survived what?
Well, he survived through thick and thin. He did that Chikamana yoga, especially. I mean, he was a gutsy little thing, you know. I mean, he was really gutsy.
No, that's pretty safe, because how did Gautama Buddha die?
Die?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he did die.
So Gautama Buddha.
Wasn't he poisoned?
Seed poison.
Hmm? Didn't somebody poison
no,
him?
No, of course. He did?
Yeah, so she like this.
What do you say? You mean he? I'm asking, did he eat a seed a month? I mean, was it an omelet or what he ate?
He ate all these things to prove he was realized, but his cousin poisoned him.
He should be
what poison?
His cousin.
Why did he do that?
He didn't believe in him.
So he killed him. But didn't Buddha know that he was being poisoned?
Yes, he knew.
Why? And he just accepted it because he was
He wanted to find out if his cousin was genuine. That's the cousin. If they, all the things that they said that he was a realized person, he said, I can really test him. So he brought him some food, knowing with poison in it. Gautama knew. He knew. And he smiled when he saw him coming with the food. That disciple, Ajanto, asked him, Master, why did you join the faces? And Buddha smiled again. And when he brought the food, his cousin bringing the food, he deliberately took the poison one and picked it up as to say, he ain't got no understanding, he ain't got no knowledge, he's dumb and stupid, and people only worship him because they believe that was the fool, their cousin. And he put it in his mouth, ate it by that. Sit down and close his eyes. Never open them again.
Why did he do that?
He never rot. That freaked out the cousin. The cousin gave him powerful poison. He deliberately put it in his mouth. Shut it down.
And he just
exactly. So they took the body and did what? Kept it and then put gold over it.
They still have the body?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
In Tibet.
Which part?
It's one of the many gold.
Yeah, one of the temples in Tibet. Yeah. In Lhasa. I know that, but the thing about it is, that's really interesting. Do you think the one seed that he did eat was maybe an almond when he was just eating one a month?
He didn't really have to eat, did he?
Huh?
No.
He didn't have to eat.
He was doing these things to satisfy his students.
Oh, I see.
He did it to satisfy his students, and many of his students were doubtful of these things, so he had to do something to satisfy them. But the last thing was his own cousin, who deliberately poisoned him to see. But he took the food, knowing fully it was poison, but he left him and them all with the realization, you fool yourself, you had your chance, and this is it. And he didn't die. Then, from then on, they decided to have a form of a service where the Buddha will always come back. And they would have this kind of a program to be in, where the things that the Buddha fondled, if he would come back within 1 year, 2 years time, any baby that was found in the area within a certain time frame, a male baby, the monks would go out and they look for a baby born in up to 2 years, and then they find the baby, and they have to be a boy within the time when the Buddha left the body.
Not gunslinger.
No, not a camera.
I mean,
and
they'll
put the objects in front of the baby and boy. And it's a sequence of how he picks up the pieces and put it out that will tell them
the last
that the Buddha came back into that body. So it has been done from the time Gautama left the body. That particular ceremony is done like a two year old. The particular process of these objects, how they are constantly picked up. And during the entire life of the Lama, he would always pick it up in that sequence. And whenever he decides to leave the body, and the body again comes back as a new being, that is the test they do. So, now, the Vatican has a similar thing up to Pope Irene. Every pope before Pope Irene had to have the stigmata wounds on their body. And the real stigmata wounds are not in the palm, they're in the wrist. And when they formed the Vatican to riot by the Medici family, it was no longer used the way by the stigmata wounds. So the Pope Irene died, he didn't have the stigmata wounds, but he was connected by a political combine.
The Borgias and
the Borgias, right. And they made him Pope. From that moment on, only the stigmata wounds would appear on peasants as a contrast, and nobody could vouch for the Pope. So the Pope, when Irene passed on, they couldn't get another Pope. They had to wait. So for 3 days they were in mourning and burning all kinds of incense. And it's on the forehead of the Pope, the initial of the next Pope appears, one of the 12 names of the 12 disciples. And it begins with the first letter of the name. It appears like a welt on the forehead. And
like in Gorbachev.
And what happens is this, that when that appears,
he doesn't know it.
They would identify that person in order of the age. So they got 20 people, all having the name of Mark or Matthew or James. So out of that, if there are four of them with J, the oldest James, the oldest John is selected. Because it's in order of the age.
That doesn't even seem that to be very accurate.
Well, that's the way they had to compensate the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime,
because it's the initial of Dan Coyle.
The appears in two conditions. The icon level, or what is made in Christ or made by Christ. If it's made by Christ, that is the person will one day have the stigmata wounds on the right location. In the wrist, ankle, and the wound in the leg. That's made by Christ. And they know that Jesus actually appeared to that person and stamped them, like a rubber stamp. Now, made in Christ, is the stigmata wounds are in the wrist. No, it's in the palm of the hand. That's the funny thing. It's in the palm of the hand, another location. They are made in Christ. They're not made by Christ. So the Vatican decided to prove out or check out to see if they can sort it out, and therefore they have prayers and they go through, and if the person will perform any miracle, they will not accept, no miracle canonize that person unless the person is dead. So they can perform miracles while they're alive, they will not be accepted. When they die, two miracles are expected to guarantee the canonization: made in Christ or made by Christ. And it must be situations where no doctor can correct. And so therefore, today now, stigmata wounds appear on people in two locations, in the palm of the hand or in the wrist. And the canonization goes on, and they identify them as made in or made by. And two miracles must occur after the death of the individual to guarantee the canonization. This is their way of compensating themselves. But a pope is selected every time it shuts down, and 3 days after they burn all the incense and everything, the wound or on the head, like a welt, appears in the name of the next pope. They do not get the stigmata wound no more. This is because they refuse to recognize the traditional heritage, and they went to be political in setting up the Vatican. That's their compensation.
Wait. Does the Buddha have to be a male baby?
He doesn't have to be.
But why is it? I mean, they're only
going to
pick a male?
They are told to look for a baby born within that period and bring it within the 2-year span.
But how do they know they're reincarnated?
It doesn't matter. They'll find, if they find a boy or a girl, they'll bring it. But the majority of them is required to take a boy, because that's what Buddha is. He was a man.
Madhya is the female counterpart.
They have also female Buddhists, you know, that are doing these things.
I know, but why should the Dalai Lama have to be male?
Well,
club.
How do you know he's not going to reincarnate as a woman?
Just name some heavy duty enlightened females down through history that have given teachings and all that. Not been running down.
If they find a female, they'll bring her and put her there to take the test.
Where are you, I guess?
9 times out of 10, they don't find a female baby born at that time. There's usually a male baby born at that time. That's where they're from. But if they find a female baby born within that time, they will take it and test it. Now, the newest one that they found is not a Tibetan, you know. It's an Italian boy. The newest Buddha they found.
How can they have another Buddha if they have another Buddha? Are they just for a different order?
Yeah.
So they choose a Dalai Lama.
Spaghetti order.
Spaghetti Buddha.
Now, let's continue and finish up.
Bring them all.
The shunt organ is your gallbladder, your large intestine, your heart, and your kidney. They are your shunt organs. And you must keep them clean. And nature has set them up in certain temperature range or seasons. So in the spring season, you clean your large intestine out. You can give yourself a lower body evacuation service. Or in the summertime, you can clean the heart up. And the best thing for the heart is tomato juice with blackstrap molasses. So you don't have to worry about wearing or cleaning your heart, because that automatically reinforces your heart.
Havana. How does that compare to the wine with the rose in it?
That's good too. But if you try to promote wine and rose, they'll tell me that Adana, you're promoting what?
Alcoholism.
I don't want to be accused for saying it, but I'll do it myself, but not you. If you want a journey, fine. But I don't want to say that I'm promoting it to you. But it's there available. That doesn't say it's not available. As long as you know them, yeah.
Why do women have candida? David, they can't even have the molasses. Because it promotes that.
You know of any woman that comes to a therapy living on salt and sour? 9 times out of 10 that comes to me with a candida situation, they're living on a what? Good. That's why they call them candida. Then they start eating their umeboshi plum and their sour pickle and everything, you think they get candida? But they don't like it, because why? Who likes to eat something sour? 9 times out of 10, between the man and the woman, which one wants the sour stuff?
Men.
And the women will say the only reason they're eating it is because they're sour
pregnant.
Off of life.
Yeah, or when they're lunar.
Or when they're pregnant, they eat sour pickles.
Lunar nutrition, yeah.
And a woman will eat sour, and then she never had the problem. That's a funny joke. But because why? We try to what? Cater the sweetness of the woman so she was.
And they get their
magnesium.
So the point that is more important is that in the morning there are certain foods that are salt, tea, sour, bitter, sweet. I need a little of each. And in the middle of the day you got the same phenomena. Nature put them there, salt, sour, and sweet.
In fact, I expected that
a long time. And night time she did the same. So if you don't put in a little of them, you end up having a what? An overloading of the body. Now, 9 times out of 10, and I'm going to pin you down, the person who tells me they have candida, they're traumatized. Because you can pinpoint the trauma before the candida showed up, and then you know why they're craving the sweet substance. You can't be out of sync with your body at no time. Unless you're traumatized. That's facts. And the trauma will make you go fast or slow. Now if you're traumatized, you're going to be one of two conditions. Either a male person, primarily the father first, or your mother, which is primarily the female person, that will aggravate you to throw your synchronicity off.
Alcohol or
But don't blame your parents for being lousy. They were designed to take that route to develop your immunity in you if you stick it out. And if you stick it out, you'll come out healthier and you'll love your parents for having provided the opportunity. But if you feel aggravated, resentful, you may end up the loser.
But they don't tell you that's how they came out to work. It's only because nature pushing them to act that role that you feel stressed out. But if you don't feel stressed out from it, even though it may seem miserable, you'll come out the winner in the end. Why? There's a statement that goes, honor thy parents. He didn't say what? Overlove them. He said honor them, right? There's a vast difference between honor and overloving them. That thou may live long in the land the Lord hath given thee. Now listen to the statement and see where you fit into the picture. Why, if your parents may be aggravating to you, and you don't let it bug you, what you reap? Longevity?
Longevity.
Thank you. You reap longevity. You will stick it on us and laugh. Ha ha, Daddy, I know I'm going to make it. I'm a winner. You threw me out without my consent and I can't turn and go back up your balls. But anyway, I'll make it down the road at my own speed. Energy. Right? And Mama, you throw me out and they cut the cord and I can't tell you not to do it. But I'm a winner because I'm breathing. And even if you know you make it miserable for me, still breathing. And now that I'm breathing, I'm the winner. Because you can't breathe to me.
Is that how you honor your parents?
I honor them by saying you can't breathe to me. So I love you for giving me the chance to be my own driver of my own car.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Good. So when they see you like that, and you're in phase in them, and you're stressed out, you know something? They are the first ones in the end to make reconciliation to you. Because why?
when they see you down and...
When they see you coping with their frustrations, and you're being stressed out by it, they start making reconciliation.
They wonder how you did it.
That's right.
And they want to learn.
That is right, because you blew their cool. They try every trick in the book, and they're forced to try every trick in the book without even knowing why they're trying.
Jesus said your own enemies will be those of your own family. Remember
congratulations, I love him.
Yeah, he says, I came not to send peace but a sword that a man might decide.
Now listen to you, Jesus, he's telling you what? He's telling you you're going to have a shitty, hard-headed, bullshitting type of a game. But if you stick it out, you're coming out on top of the ball game. Why?
You're a winner.
But you've got to understand it and not freak out from it. You got to be able to cope with it and not feel stressed out from it. And then, the very person who try every trick in the book is supposed to do what? Back off. When it back off, they respect you for two things. How in the hell can you put up with every trick in the book that tried to make you feel miserable? And what is it?
Donald, this is exactly what I've been going through. I mean, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, this has been really intense. If I could turn it off, like a radio, I'm on my vacation in the middle of a beautiful area, and I can't turn off negative emotion.
You know something, buddy? Could be worse.
Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah.
Enjoy.
I mean, it didn't get me, you know. But
enjoy the immunization process set up by parents to get you strong and healthy, because if they take it away from you, you had it. You got a bum deal then. I'd rather be harassed and win.
Right.
And not to be harassed. No pain, no gain.
So in other words, parents who just make it easy for their kids, pay their rent, and love them all the time.
Thank you, Daddy.
I mean, I don't really like people. I don't really relate to people who aren't self-sufficient.
I gotta thank my daddy.
You know, throw me out
and tell me, go for it. I can't go back inside of him, so I have to go for it and I'm breathing.
So my dad did.
That's the whole idea. Anyway.
$1,000.
They all do when they kick you out of
last the scrotum. Last but not least,
that's what they all do when they kick you out of the scrotum.
Last but not least, let's wind it up. You know the four shunt organs, large intestine, heart, kidney, and gallbladder. They're in the four seasons of the year, and you can clean them up and keep them functioning to take the overload of your body. But you have one more thing to consider. eating on time allows you to clean the body without being stressed out by it.
What?
So, nature has provided its own automatic cleanup process. And there are only three foods that can clog you up. That's melted cheese, the fiber from the popcorn, and the carbon dioxide in the drink. Outside of that, you can get through everything on time. And there's only one style of cooking that the body doesn't accept. That's deep fry.
Like tempura?
Anytime you deep fry, you clog up your system. So for that reason, cleaning your intestinal tract with a colon irrigation around springtime is good for the body. And in the summertime, you want to take some, make sure you're getting your tomato sauce juice with your blackstrap molasses for the heart. And in the autumn time, you can do a 2-day or a 3-day kidney flush. That is cranberry juice, 4 ounces of it, 4 ounces of corn oil. And you can do it for 3 days and clean out your kidneys. And once you've done it, you're doubtful you'll ever get it again, because kidney stones are not that hard to recognize. They're only caused by mustard greens and collard greens eaten late at night. So, and if you eat pork fat with it, so you don't have much problem with that. The other one is gallstones, and they can only come from eating too much black pepper. And normally, today now, you can now avoid that by putting the black pepper, the whole peppercorn, in a sack. Put it in the food that you want to get the zinc out of it and throw away the finished product. But all you do is put it in a little sack and tie it and drop it in, and then let it boil, and all the zinc comes out. You got all the minerals you want, yeah.
What's a good combination to put the black peppercorn in, like that, for rice, pasta, or what?
Any food you want to give yourself the zinc from 12 midday, like 4 ounces of olive oil to 4 ounces of apple juice combined.
And that's in the winter time. The maximum is 7 days.
Adana, should you be careful what you eat the day after, like on Monday when you finish?
No, the thing is this, whenever you go off of one of these programs, do not eat solid right away. You should always eat liquid, semi-blended up into like a porridge, and then finally back into the solid, so that you can chew. So that's basically how you go back to taking the food back into your system. Because your body has been temporarily reduced to liquid, less solid. So it's very natural to go back and easily start off with a soup, and you break the program, then move back to a porridge texture, to got vegetables, you blend them up in the blender and take it back. Then in a couple of days, you're back to normal. You eat regularly. No problem.
Should you eat raw food the day before?
The day before you do a gallbladder flush?
Or any kind of a liquid thing?
You do it in a liquid form or a blender form, it's no problem.
Okay.
Make sure that it's not. Okay. Thank you. I understand. You got questions you want to ask? Go ahead, shoot it now. Congratulations.
He was talking about yesterday about the life, and it wasn't this morning. I can't recall, but I really like that you were talking about the white light, and I'd like to know if you can, if you, some of your experiences with the white light, and maybe working with other people with light.
Your life is inside of you already. All you gotta do is sit down and watch it.
So how long it takes to reveal itself, that's all you got.
We have you personally have
it. Here I fall off a building to get mine. I'm hard-headed, I can't believe. So that's why I fall off a building and spend 50 minutes in the soil. So I died, and I made sure there ain't no devil sitting down waiting for me. I know God's ready for dead people. But I found one thing about being dead. That nobody breathes you. And even though I saw the atoms inside of my head of light, I can't use it until I breathe. So from that standpoint, as a hard-headed son of a gun, I decided to pick up my body and live. So as far as my experience goes, I can't recommend it to nobody.
Yeah, all right. Very good. Very, very honest.
But I have to go through that way. But if you sit down and close your eyes and you are persevering, eventually you will experience the internal journey of the sperm back to the ovum. We call that the death experience. There's no other death experience. Every other thing is just a bunch of geometry to interface or satisfy that particular memory. So if you think you're going up a tunnel, it's your daddy throwing you out of the sperm, but you don't know it. And if you hear a voice talking, it's then you make enough for mama. So you can shoot you out in the pile of fluid. You can't turn around and go back. And then you can see a big light up the road. That's the ovum waiting to bite you in the head. But you don't know because your eyes can only see looking. You can't see what is. So, since it only see what is in front and not what is, it doesn't recognize it as a sperm moving out. But the memory is a journey of observation. Right up to the light, this represents the ovum. And the light is the mouth of the ovum locking down on the head as an ignition clamp. And you go through the mental anguish of being swelling and lost in the light. Because you don't have any way to relate to what is called non-geometrical geometry. But a strange phenomenon will occur in there. You don't die.
Hey, Marley,
and you're here. And see that you've always been atoms, and that God has become you. You don't become God. And the you of you doesn't exist. But if you wake up and you don't panic from the experience, you'll feel horny all day. And if you do panic, the worst that can happen to you is fall asleep all through the time till next day. So the worst that can happen to you, you fall asleep and totally forget where you are. And the best that can happen is that you wake up and you're horny all over. So you're thrown back into the very same laws of physics. Go forth, Xerox yourself, and have dominion over the universe. If you go forth to Xerox yourself, that's what the horniness is all about. And dominion is, you're an adult, you can't be a child, because the experience occurs in an adult body. So you're accepting living in the world and not running for it. Now, even Brother Jesus may be standing there looking at you while you come out of it. They're not going to breathe to you. In the end, you're going to say, what took me so long to wake up? But if you do understand it and you go through the journey of the sperm landing the ovum inside of your head, and you open your eyes and you look around, you're going to laugh. Why? You're breathing. If you're not breathing, you'll be looking at your body lying on the bed, and everybody will be crying all over you, and you'll be saying to them, "But I ain't dead. I'm right over here. Don't you see me?" And no, nobody will see you, but they'll do things to their face like that, because while you're talking, the air may be buzzing in their ears to make them feel kind of miserable, something in the cool air in the room, which is you, not Mahadev, now turn cold air. They don't see you, they may feel you. And you, this is trying to explain that you are here, you want to talk to them, you're telling them, you aren't going any place, you're here. And in the end, what? They'll bury the body, and the lawyers come to pay respects to it, totally oblivious of you, as happy as standing in the room. For those that have eyes to see,
let them see,
and have ears to hear, let them hear, you know what they're going to do? If they see you, they're going to say, breathe. If they hear you, they're going to say, breathe. So you realize you got a chance to start all over again in another body to breathe. So reincarnation is a guaranteed opportunity to breathe.
What about the thing called the ascension?
The ascension? What ascent?
The ascent of it?
What ascent? The only thing that can ascend in you is the fact that you breathe and you don't rot.
Okay.
Then you ascend it.
Right.
If you breathe, they'll keep you. And if you don't rot, they'll keep you. But if you breathe and you don't leave the body for them to examine, they're going to be bugged. That's really applying the ascension. And if you appear to them and eat a little with them, and they photograph you no matter how they try, and it doesn't record, that really bugs the hell out of them. Then you can come and go at will and visit them. Then they say you're ascending. Where?
To a higher, a different sonic frequency, a different octave. I don't know.
Well, that's how we like to explain it to ourselves. We're better than those that we left behind, or we're worse than those we left behind, or we're the same. But we don't know. Those who we left behind don't know how to work it.
Well, it's like you say about the angels, there they are, and they would give everything they have to be able to breathe. So, because the ascended master always, they're always around us because we breathe.
If you met somebody...
Let's say Saint Germain, for instance.
He does drive his own car?
I believe he does.
You don't drive your own car?
I know.
Then what is the difference when both you see the same car and got it going? Who is the car that gets the right to drive it?
Well, I've got it.
In your car, you drive it, right?
Yeah.
In his car, he does not.
He's driving it.
So?
The difference of plane, or geometry, or size.
He drives his own car, you drive your own car, you're both drivers. But if he invites you to his car, are you going to be a passenger or a driver?
Well,
9 times out of 10, he ain't going to invite you to his car. 9 times out of 10, you're going to make a stupid attempt to invite him into your car.
That's true.
And then he's going to come in temporarily to prove to you what? That he exists. Then he says, don't call me back next time because I don't want to leave your car. I got my own car. A lot of people I met, you know, they don't like me when I come around because why? I show that each man must play his own song. So Saint Germain don't come around with nobody. I don't want him to talk to me. Tell him this will happen.
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, we went to a seance type thing. Mm-hmm. And this spirit was talking to this man. He could contact various people, including he claimed he could get Ranta. So Donald had told me that no spirit could hang around when he came around. So right away, just at one time, he said, excuse me, can I ask a question? And the spirit said, certainly. The man talking in this voice, in an altered voice, certainly. And Adano said, who are you? And he said, I am Rampa. Who are you? And Adano said, Adano. And the spirit said, I gotta go now. Came back. Exactly. That was the whole conversation.
I gotta go now. He wasn't the driver of his own car, and forced him to become the driver of his own car. It's like that, there in San Diego has this place called The Reader, and there's this crazy guru called, what's that, Swami Beyond Ananda? He says all these people are trying to have channeling of people coming into their bodies, and everyone who's
seeking enlightenment is trying to leave there. That's what kind of.
No, see, some people want the free ride. Others want to be using the free ride.
Instead of accepting the
touch.
Probably be like their advantage to talking and leaving your body too, wouldn't it?
Sure, it would. It's like a great
time, right?
You see, they don't want to take the journey of the uterine canal because they're not in a carbon-based body. They're in a silicon or sulfur methane body. And the opportunity to experience breathing is a temporary condition of promising you they'll do something for you. And your ego will let go, temporarily shut down, and they use your body to experience breathing. So this is what we call using the other person's cars or their permission. And so that's basically what you do. You leave them to be using your mechanism for them to feel comfortable that they can cope with a carbon-based body. But they can't hang around permanently no matter how they try. But they can always periodically tap you to tell you they are wrong, and you'll always feel proud enough to say it, and so you leave yourself more and more weaker and vulnerable to let them into tapping on you. So, we're not here to condemn them. Mm-hmm. All you did to yourself is make yourself a biological telephone booth for them. All they're doing is tapping on your breathing apparatus so they get adaptable to carbon dioxide going out of the body and oxygen coming in. So they get familiar. But if they did decide to go up the uterine canal and really tap in, the familiarity of working on your body would give them the incentive. You already made the plunge.
We might have been in Washington for a while before.
You don't know? I'm not going to say you might not have been, but the point is this. Suffer to be so if we were or were not, right at this moment in time, understanding is the best friend and not belief. If you understand, you will stay healthy and you make it. The butterfly hood. If you don't understand, then they use you until you feel fed up with them.
Yeah, that's the way like I got to like with the Summit Lighthouse, which I'm sort of a member of this Roman Olympic prophet, but then the meeting since 1973, and I've heard 1,000 dictations from Hotel of Virginity, Jesus, Archangel Michael, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, Draw Cool. I've heard lots of dictations, I've got stacks of. And like, it got to a point where I just said, you know, I looked around and I said, gee, I just don't feel like I really, you know, want this or something, you know. It just didn't seem like I was really developing, and you know, I felt, you know, why should I get answers from other people like that? And it wasn't really doing me any good. And so, just being somewhere else.
And so?
Well, no, I just tried to go and intuitively. I mean,
you
know, I use my own.
Well, ask yourself, if you try to be intuitive, is it to know tomorrow or to cope it now?
Right now.
And if you cope it now, you don't need intuition. Who needs intuition to cope it now? People who don't feel confident wants to know tomorrow, so they seek intuition.
Wait a minute.
Is God breath or is God knowledge?
Breath.
I haven't found God as knowledge.
So what's the understanding?
Understanding is the ability to turn the key in the car.
That's just the breath?
That's right.
We already have that.
Oh, then that tells you you have the right to drive the car. That's when they give you the key, they give you the certificate or the license, and they give you the car and the ownership and the bill, and you drive your car on your own.
What's the difference between understanding and
understanding? Self-understanding. I don't breathe, so what have you done now? You want to know tomorrow, or you want to live now?
You're a driver, he's a chauffeur and a mechanic. Okay.
popular from you know, all these masters in the story, there was a time that all of them stopped all the reading, and they all were whatever they were, and you know, to the fullness of whatever they are or were, and this didn't have a need for it.
No, they read it for us to accept what we are. And as soon as we accept what we are, they allow us to continue acting as we are.
They mean the elements?
Yeah.
Elements. They allow us.
And the individual form that you call a master is only your opportunity to realize where you are. Because nobody is your master. The Brother Jesus told you.
That's right.
You are your own master of what?
Self.
There's no self.
Are you the element of the environment?
No, you're a master of breathing. Because nobody breathes for you. Now if you breathe, all the 144 elements that hold that body together keep what? Staying together. And if you don't breathe, the 144 elements will do what? Separate? So then what is your mastery other than to do what? Breathe to keep it together. Now, when do you want to experience opportunity? Tomorrow or now? So then if you breathe now, the 144 elements allow you to experience what?
Well,
opportunity. Opportunity doesn't say what it is. It's unrehearsed already.
Right,
it's brand new. It's an opportunity to what? Breathe.
To
live. There's not to live. You breathe, and in breathing, you have the opportunity to act. And in order to act, you must cope with it, not panic from it. So all life is action. There's no such thing as actionless life. All action. All action is love. Yeah. See this love thing? No. As a result of
that. Love himself.
Reached fruition here, huh?
Right? Good. And all love is service. And all service is giving. And all giving is freedom. And all freedom is now. And all now is life. And all life is action. So where are we going? Back like where we started. From our nose to our hose.
Okay.
Good, see? Action. The nose makes you have action. Look at that. Look at that. Do you see any people are breathing ready? Great.
Is there a specific way that you consciously breathe during the day that's different now than before?
My friend, do you breathe? Am I teach you to breathe, or the air pushes itself through your nostrils and allows you to stay alive?
Well, when I took yoga and I had a yoga instructor, he told me that I was breathing wrong. He was just trying to teach me how to breathe automatically.
And
he
said
I
wasn't breathing right, and I never
could get it, so I did. So I just gave up on it. I
said, I can't do this, and I just breathe the way I breathe. I know he knows right or wrong.
I'm just breathing. Well, I'm fine. I don't have pneumonia. I feel good. I can run.
So what are you trying to tell you? I think he's cool. No, are you trying to tell you stop thinking about it?
Yeah.
And so when you stop thinking of it, your body did it.
Maybe so.
That's what everybody's got to learn sooner or later. The person who teaches the knowledge isn't teaching you anything that they themselves didn't learn. But the only way they can make you do it is what? Make you feel stupid. That's the best way to learn. Yeah, when you feel stupid, you quit interfering with your ability to do it right. You've been always doing it right, but you're blocking it by thinking you've got to do it right.
Yeah.
And in actuality, when you think you got to do it right, you block it.
That's how people solve problems.
Right. So by telling them, oh, you're lousy, then they say, oh my God, but that's exactly the technique they use. You quit worrying about how to do it right, you end up doing it right.
Yeah, Zen masters do that.
So why, now you see the kind of
magic
matter
when
know where it comes from?
I was just reading to see who the name
was. Of anything is what?
The highest point.
As long as you keep talking, you haven't arrived yet. When you arrive, you don't talk. And when you don't talk, you live. And when you live, you breathe.
6 hours.
And when you breathe, you yawn. And when you yawn, you swallow. And when you swallow, you laugh. And then you always feel nothing better than a jackass. You know, a jackass is always laughing in the water. What song does a jackass make? Congratulations. Hear that?
Yeah.
It's known as the all part.
You should come to Knoxville.
So that's the end of the joke, and we all begin to do what? Fart through our mouths, breathe through our nose, enjoy our ears, and trickle
our
toes.
You go left on that one, and you go left
and the big boys will tell you, be like little kids.
Okay, little kids.
Your daddy don't
that's
want any upright, know-it-all jerk. He already know it all, so you're going to tell him you know it all. Why don't you enjoy, let him enjoy himself being a jerk and a baby boy inside of himself. But our parents don't like us, because they were forced to educate you, make sure that you know how to function, and therefore you're going to be respected. And then when you turn out to be a super deluxe baby boy or girl, they feel they got left out.
I don't think so.
Be like one of these. One of these means like a kid. Having no ego, full of curiosity. They don't like it because they get it under enough. See, fun up. How much fun can you get enough of? Can you get enough of? You never get enough of fun because it's not.
Now we're going to
tickle. Yeah, right. There you go. But you see, the thing is so comical. What's comical about it is that now it doesn't have tomorrow. Now it doesn't think of tomorrow. And now makes you feel like incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what's coming up with Christy.
I feel pretty tough
right now. But do you feel safe enough?
I do.
Right now I do.
Enjoy it.
I love learning these things.
Enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourselves. They never get thin. The years go by. They only spill the drink. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves before they stink. And they stink, don't blame nobody. Blame yourselves.
Donna, what's the difference between being afraid and being scared?
Ah, my friend. Afraid is to worry before it happens. Scared is taken by surprise that you may cope or you may not cope.
Afraid is like they live a rope all apart.
But I'd rather be scared than afraid. Because I don't know, and I'm taken by surprise, if my ability to cope or not to cope, if I get my ego out of the way, I may come out a winner. If I get my ego in the way, I may end up a loser. So I'd rather take a gamble of being scared and afraid, knowing that prior to being scared, I coped.
And if I cope, now I'm still around to cope with more steel. Therefore, I ain't worried anymore if anything comes up to harass me. But if I'm afraid, I'll be digging a hole to crawl in, never finding out what the hell is making me afraid.
Need iron.
So for that matter, I take what Brother Jesus says, the peace I give, the world don't give. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground and you're afraid you're not going to get by, so you fall in and lie down and die. And if I'm scared because Brother Jesus says you give me the power to cope with it, so whatever it helps me, that's how I live the moment. So I live the moment this way.
I don't know if it's going to come or not. Then I got to worry if my pants going to get wet or not. That's the whole essence. So you test yourself every day if you fart or you piss. Between which one of the two will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you didn't fart, you may piss. And then you really goofed it. If you didn't piss, you may fart. But if you didn't fart or piss and a lump of Lord came out, you got to throw it.
Lord.
Well, that's the name of the game. But you know you're testing yourself every second.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
So test yourself. Don't be afraid to test yourself.
What did you say about class I want you to say, like when you raise your hands and you like this, that's the form of like, I don't know, you said something about that.
Yeah.
Intense or some aggressive.
You're testing yourself.
And you do this, you stand and you walk into a room and, oh, I know, people aren't sure you're coming into a room, so just inadvertently you just stand in the back like people hang on you.
Off the weights like that.
Now, what does that do?
That straightens out your frequency.
That's it.
You line up the coping.
Right. So people. Mm. Oh,
congratulations. Congratulations. After all, you've been on a compatible.
Thinking all this.
So what's happening to you, big brother?
Confrontation.
What's happening with you?
Oh, he's
going to
get a trip
for
me anyway.
Well, interesting. I went to the beach today. Some of these beaches, you had to walk down these cliffs in order to get down. So when Fernando asked me about being afraid and scared, I got halfway down, and then I became afraid because the footing was real unsure, and all it takes is one little slip with your foot and you don't walk down, you go rolling down. And I was watching people go down these cliffs with surfboards and all sorts of things they were carrying, and I would watch them, and you could see every foot they took, they were really being very careful. And I had this backpack on my back, and I just said, the heck with it. I threw it down the hill and I just said, I want to balance this by myself. But I felt really fortunate I made it down because I was really afraid that I was going to perhaps roll down the cliff. So I found somebody down there below on the beach and found a better way to go back up. I don't want to have my luck on the way back up.
Interesting, huh?
But I mean, I was afraid. I was one. You didn't have any margin for error. There's no room for mistake there at all. And the people, you could see, when they put their foot down, they would try to see if it would be stable, and there's no way of knowing it was going to be stable after they put pressure on it because it's all sandy. And I couldn't believe these people walking down. They must have had great balance. One little slip, and they'd be in a hospital. I just enjoyed the beach. I haven't went to the beach for a while.
Point out something else to you. You didn't do it yesterday. You did it today.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody was to tell you a month ago, on a Sunday, you'd be coming down a mountain, would you accept it? Not knowing what type of condition the mountain was?
Perhaps I would, perhaps I wouldn't, I don't know. It depends on the timing or the condition or who said it to me.
So now, think of one moment. If all the details of today were written a month ago and handed to you when you came down the mountain,
step by step, what would you say? If you said it to me or someone else said it to me?
No, somebody else said it to me.
I would... or perhaps not believe it.
I don't know, believe it when I see it. Then go through it.
It took me a little while to get my courage up to go down this path. I saw people, I watched a little bit, observed some people go down and come up. And I won't go down it again, that's for sure.
Friend,
yeah.
Timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence directs your existence. So you cannot relive no instant in your life that you know of twice. And as long as you're breathing at this moment, every other instant that you live is intended to be lived. It could be worse. Never to have the chance or muck it up in the process. But you live. The most important moment of your life, walking down a monkey. Are you leaving us
alone? Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
And kisses and hugs, everybody. Right. See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm just surprised why people would want to take that chance. To me, it didn't seem worth it. Because there's no margin for any mistake. It's one little mistake, and then your body is going to be all bruised up.
Well, look at it another way.
It doesn't seem worth it, then. Easier way is to get down, not that one particular way.
One leaves, one comes in. There's Liza. All right. Do I know you?
No.
I'm going to. Good to see you. Hi, Liza.
Hello.
You're bitter.
Yes. The question is, my friend, it is not if you do it or you don't do it. That moment of time came for you to live.
But that moment, why would that moment be different from any other moment?
No two moments are the same. Show me how.
But each moment gives you an opportunity to live. In that respect, why would one moment be different from the other? Mm-hmm.
Each opportunity to live is a different
experience.
Mm-hmm. So, when the time is for you to experience walking down a mountain, you'll walk down it. When the time for you to climb up a fiery pool, you'll climb up it. When the time for you to plunge in the water to bump your head against a rock, you'll do it. Any time for you to come out in the pile of grass and lie down and enjoy the sun, you'll do it. But not before it presents itself. Even though maybe precariously arranging itself to occur, you will always live it in the moment. Now, did you expect to be in San Diego on a Sunday afternoon to see some slant-eyed guy in the month of August?
Not until I spoke ahead.
That's what you're talking about, the moment. See what I'm talking about? Each moment has its own particular opportunity.
Took me 14 years to learn how to play in the winter.
In the winter
for 14 years.
Ridiculous.
I've been
doing
it in 4 months, and I tried.
And if you look back, this fellow here went into winter. Yesterday, went tomorrow into spring and came back today in summer.
Yeah.
That's a fast journey he made.
Yeah.
hasn't lost the ability to fart.
Think of that. He went back into winter yesterday. And he went forward into spring tomorrow. And he returned here in summer today. Look how fast he went around the universe in three different seasons. Yesterday, tomorrow, and today. He already went tomorrow. And he came back today.
Go there again.
Oh yes, we are always going there. But there is always where your nose is.
But how can you go there? I already have gone tomorrow.
Well, that's what I said. You went where his nose is, and that's where he has to go. There.
You said
he went yesterday. Yesterday into winter.
Uh-huh.
He went in tomorrow, as spring. And he came back today as summer.
Yesterday, then tomorrow, yesterday, tomorrow, follow yesterday, and then that proceeds today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I
don't believe
you. Right? They don't
believe
you.
I know.
He knows it's winter
and it's dark. Yeah, but it's winter every day, every night.
Did you know that the word breathe has more combinations of words than any other word I've ever seen in my life? You've got it fair enough, but looking at it for the past 5 years. The word breathe has be after theater in it, there's eat the air, there's he be at the beat, or beat the, whatever it was. I'm doing words with it. Those letters in the word breathe form many, many different words.
Except one word.
Well,
it doesn't have an element. It doesn't have a lot. It
just forms
a lot of words. It'll form any word except one word.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. It'll form every word except one word. If you breathe, you are what? Congratulations. You don't breathe the barrier. Start over again. So how is San Francisco?
I see the
breath. I see the breath how they're filling your lungs.
It's not a question,
Yeah, it's all over there.
Thank you.
How the bread? Did you jar down today?
I didn't feel like parking.
Lipstick on the toe.
Yeah.
Very beautiful lipstick on the toe. Oh, that is interesting.